Yak Gadget, made in America. Yak Gadget, made in America, based outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Yak Gadget offers all kinds of storage accessories, quick mount motor mounts, anchor systems, track mounted accessories, even paddles. Go to yakgadget.com and get your kayak decked out for your next trip out on the water.
The 153 Bait Company, based in Troy, Ohio, make everything from plastics to custom painted hard baits. Hook them hard and hook them off. All of our baits are made to order and all of our hard baits are hand painted to order. So go to the153anglers.com to place your order today.
This segment is brought to you by Jigmasters. Step up your game with high-quality performance jigs, spinner baits, buzz baits, and more from Jigmasters.com. And always, when in doubt, get the jig out.
You're listening to Bass Fishing for Noobs, the Paddle and Fin Podcast, with your hosts Ryan Milford and Sean Lambert.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for Noobs here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast. I am your co-host, Sean, and with me, as always, is my good buddy, Ryan. How's it going, sir?
What's going on, buddy?
Not much. I guess before we jump into our guest tonight, we can run over the quick Ryan and Sean battle going on. It's there.
I don't really want to, but I guess we can.
I've been getting out a lot lately, but I still feel like I have to build a lead because I think there's going to be a lot of time that you're going to have to catch up for me when the water or the weather up here gets much colder and you're still fishing. So I am right now sitting at 40 bass over 12 inches for the year. And Ryan is comfortably behind me at 20.
Yeah, I'm at 20. It's actually been like 2 weeks since I've been out, and you know, now I'm going to have to wait till this coming weekend to get out again. So hopefully I can get out and I can slay some 12 inches or bigger and be able to, do a little bit of catching up, which by the weekend, you'll probably be at like 60. So I think something that's kind of cool, something that you actually started and I thought was kind of cool. So I started doing it. I backtracked it the best I could, but you actually kept up with total amount of bass you've caught and other species that you've caught. And so as of right now, you know, I've got the 20 bass over 12 inches that I can verify. I have 29 bass total.
Okay.
Now, I've caught more than that, but you know, it's like they'd be little dinks, and so I just unhook them, throw them back. So I can't remember exactly how these are. Just there's 29 that I've got pictures of, or can like remember that. Yeah, I caught this many that day. Only this many were keepers, that kind of thing.
Right.
And then I've got one drum and one crappie.
Okay. I am sitting at 64 bass, 40 for sure over 12. 5 trout, 3 crappie, 3 perch, 2 bluegill, and 2 sunfish. I think the sunfish total might be a little higher, but there's 2 that I have pictures of that are verified. So,
now, is that the ones you caught today?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. So, and partly because I didn't know what they were before, and after doing some research, I found out they're long-eared sunfish. They have like these blue lightning bolt kind of on their cheeks, and I think that's what gives it away. But okay. Anyway, so...
Well, yeah, there's that. I don't think we've updated that in a while, so.
But it's a work in progress. Ryan still has plenty of time to catch up, and we'll see how that goes. But it's just a fun little thing we got going, so it definitely motivates me to get out on the water. So.
Yeah, you've been getting out quite a bit.
Yeah,
I'm kind of jealous because I get out usually like once every week or two, and I feel like you've been going out like every day just about.
I've been trying for two times a week. For the most part, I've been able to keep up with that. But.
Well, cool. Well, so, yes.
All so, right. Well,
who we got today?
Sitting in our green room here, we have the very newest member of the Paddle and Fin family, Mr. Chris Slifka of the Mindset podcast or segment here on Paddle and Fin. So again, welcome to the Paddle and Fin family, brother. It's good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you. How are you guys doing today?
Making it.
I'm just trying to make it.
Yeah.
It's so, won't you, you know, our segment, we got a lot of new people and stuff. They might not have caught your new segment yet. So why don't you go over a little bit about who you are?
Name, Chris Lifka. I've been fishing for my whole life, but basically taking it seriously for about 8 years now. And I got into the kayak scene about 4 years ago. That's why I got the Sen 12T. Kind of cut my teeth on that. Recently, I just bought a RS-117 from Bonafide. Nice. And that's kind of propelled my career a little faster than I thought it would. But yeah, I've been doing all the paddle and fin trail series events right now, and then hoping by next year to be on the national events.
Nice, nice. Awesome. Well, we can see from behind you, you at least did pretty well on one of those. So, how's that? Yeah, it's
going good. The Tippecanoe New River one, I took fifth place. You know, the hometown kind of beat me down, but. Other than that, it was pretty good. We got a bunch of new baits from that, from 153 baits. That definitely helped out. Helped me catch a 5-pounder later this year off of
nice.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
It's going what good. Baits you,
go ahead. What I was gonna just say, what baits are you using from 153?
It was that Quake. Vibrating jig type of deal. That thing is amazing, man. Like, I'm not sponsored by them at all, but I already messaged him and told him, like, it's a different type of vibrating jig type of deal where it moves around a ton. Right. And no. versus a chatterbait, it I don't know how to explain it. It's just different, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah, I've had two of those. I lost one pretty quickly on the river, but I still have the other one. I just haven't thrown it a bunch lately. But I know, yeah, it is a different, it has a different action to it and a different vibration, I think. So.
Yeah, and that 5-pounder disc ate it. And then this past Sunday, I had a muskie take the other one from me.
Okay. Yeah.
With that one, he got away with it.
I was going to say, those aren't very musky-proof usually.
Yeah. The funny thing about that was I got him in the net, and I'm sure Brian knows because this happened to me earlier in the day when I was fishing with him. Got him into the net, you know, and all calm and everything, went to go take the hook out, jump back out the net, and took the hook and, you know, the obviously the lure and the rod with him.
Oh, and the run.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was just one of those deals. I wasn't really paying. You know, you figure they're in the net, you're safe to put your rod down, and obviously I wasn't. Wow. But it's fishing, you know?
Right. Well, and that's the fish of 10,000 casts, right? So you know you have one.
Oh, yeah. It definitely took 10,000 or more. I've been trying on and off for the last 4 years to get one.
Cool.
So bittersweet moment.
Right. So that's cool, man. So what made you want to, start a segment on paddle and fin, or how did that come about?
Came about, I was talking to Brian about starting a podcast. I wasn't even necessarily looking for a spot on paddle fin or knew if there was one open. I was just kind of throwing the idea out there, and he's like, hey, you could, you know, just come jump on with us. And the whole idea of the podcast was that basically the mindset of fishing, you know, we all talk about the baits, the lures, everything else. And from that point, it's easy to talk about, hey, this bait won, or hey, my electronics beat me here. But to talk about the mindset of how you won, how you prepared, how you caught that big fish, it's different, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, we've had so many guests on that talk about that. I think it's going to be a popular segment because that is a huge part of fishing, and bringing that to the forefront like you are, I think is going to be a big deal.
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised it hasn't been done before.
Did Brian Schiller tell you to drink a Mountain Dew while you're being interviewed by us?
Yeah. No, he didn't, man. It's definitely a popular drink. If it's not water, like I drink water when I'm out there kayaking. But if it's not that, it's Mountain Dew or it's coffee. Yeah. No, but he definitely didn't tell me. It's just a drink of choice.
I just had to throw a little slur at Brian, you know, he's got the sponsorship. So.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, Sorry, I'm a little laggy, so if I talk over people on purpose,
It's fine. We're working well what we got tonight.
But yeah, so it's cool to have you on now. Your segment's going to be running every other Sunday, I believe.
Yeah, so it'll be every other Sunday. It aired today. Tomorrow will be on Waypoint TV. And then two Sundays from now.
Sweet. Well, let's get into your fishing a little bit. You said you're in a bona fide, however you want to pronounce it. Yeah. You got a motor, right?
Absolutely. Well, I got a motor, but it gave me some trouble today.
What kind of motor you got?
It's the Minn Kota, this 30 thrust Enduro C2.
Okay.
You know, to cut the shaft down, kind of your typical starter motor before you get into the expensive ones.
I gotcha. Do you feel like having the motor changes fishing for you? Because I imagine you didn't like start out having a motor. I imagine you probably paddled or something a little bit.
When I had the Sen 12T, I didn't have a motor. I didn't know much about kayak fishing in general. So I was just kind of paddling around the local lakes fishing. But when I bought the Bonafide, I knew for sure that was the next step was an motor.
So the
pedal drive, I put it for foot steering. It definitely helps out when throwing the reaction baits, chatterbaits, square bills, crunch, you know, anything like that. You could cover a ton more water without having to stop.
Interesting.
Yeah, I've actually been working on a motor setup for one of my kayaks. I've just been kind of lazy at it and haven't finished it yet, but I'm doing the foot steering as well. That way, you know, I can just keep casting, like put it on, you know, slow, and just keep casting as I go down the bank line. But yeah. So what are some of the techniques that you like throwing?
So first thing has to be a drop shot. As soon as that came out, I started using it, and you know, the fishing has kind of just changed for me. Then right after that, it's normally drop shot, chatterbait style. And then anything after that is kind of not in my forte, but I will throw it type of deal.
Interesting.
So you got moving bait and a finesse bait.
Yeah, I try to have both of them. You know, I try to find the fish with the moving bait and then kind of finesse them out of there depending on what type of cover they're in.
I'm looking forward to talking a little drop shot because that's definitely one technique that I've tried on multiple occasions, but I just can't say I have any feel for it at all. I've watched videos on it. I think the Fish the Moment guy had a really good one that was showing what it looked like underwater in a swimming pool, and that helped me a little bit, but it's definitely not anywhere near the top of my go-to list just because I have zero confidence in it. I like to think I know what the bait's doing there down on the bottom, but to be honest, I really don't. And, you know, like I never know if my weight's on the bottom or if my weight and my The lure is on the bottom. You know, it's definitely something I struggle with.
Yeah, I think it's something a lot of people struggle with, is knowing when their weight's on the bottom. And for me, when I was using lead weights, it was a big struggle. And then when I switched to the tungsten, and I went a little bit heavier than normal people like suggest. You know, I did a quarter and 3/8 ounce weights instead of the lead weights, because you could feel that bottom more, and it's harder to take it off the bottom when it's down there.
Okay.
So. Is there a particular brand you like?
So I have a deal with Root Tungsten. So I use basically all their tungsten weights.
Okay.
But I mean every brand's pretty much the same at this point. You know, a lot of them are all getting shipped from the same place. You know?
Yeah. Now, usually use the barrel style or the ball style, or do you use
this kind of like this style here, so it's not really a bit, it's more of a, the teardrop style.
Yep, okay.
And I will stick to the teardrop unless I'm in heavy grass, and then I'll go to that barrel style.
Okay. I think I got like one of those Wu Tungsten starter packs where, or like they have a deal running where you get like 20 different things, and so that's the only ones that I've ever had, but I can't remember. I think I had a few barrel and a few teardrops in that pack, but definitely have to break them out some more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The big thing, I fish a lot of shallow cover when it comes to, I'll fish this thing around trees, around grass. The big thing for me was upgrading the hook. I don't use drop shot hooks at all on my drop shot. I use a Nico hook, either size 1 or size 2.
Okay. So that's quite a bit bigger than interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So I can, with that hook, I can nose hook it. I can hook it like pretty much any way possible. And I can also Texas rig them. Mm-hmm. And I can use something that's a 2-inch bait or something that's 4, 5, 6 inches and still get the same bites.
Interesting. Yeah, that's definitely a bit of an upsize from what you normally hear people drop shot with, for sure.
It is, but on those really smaller hooks, you tend to lose the fish a lot, especially when you're just getting started, because you're not supposed to really set the hook on them. You're not supposed to, this is all the things they tell you, you know, and you tend to lose a lot of hooks, especially when they jump. I lost so many fish jump next to the kayak and then they're off, you know.
Ryan, what were you going to say? Go ahead. Yeah.
But what kind of bait are you using on there, like as far as your soft plastic?
So I don't know how good the camera is going to pick these up, but I kept quite a few of them. This first one is called, a G3 Ned. I could try to bring this closer for you guys.
Okay.
And that's kind of like the primary. It's the biggest one that I have that I put on the drop shot. It's made by Great Lakes Baits Company. They're pretty inexpensive. They're hand poured, so they float. They're made to float in the water.
Okay.
Okay.
And that's a big deal. And then you have that action of the tail kicking all the time. Makes it pretty good.
So are you pretty much just letting that sit and then just like slowly jiggling it? Or are you actually dragging it?
I wait till it hits to the bottom. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of slowly drag it along like a wood line or a weed line.
Okay.
And that typically normally hits them. I'm not a vertical jigger at all. I don't like the video game jig technique or anything like that. I will do it, but I prefer to be there 6 to 8 feet water throwing at targets.
Okay, gotcha. I think that maybe that's also where I've struggled a little bit, because I've tended to use it in deeper water when I don't know what else to throw there, and it is then more of a vertical thing for me. But I also you know, I'm not great at reading my fish finder either, so I might see and mark fish, but casting to them is usually a different story. I'm working on that, you know, using waypoints and stuff like that, but definitely still something I'm learning.
I have never once tried rigging up a drop shot yet. Like, I, you know, I've got the stuff to do it with. I've just never done it. And
I tell you, if you wanna catch up in the noob that you guys got going on, that's the quickest way to do it. Like,
well,
it accounts for so many fish.
I feel like that's part of the reason why I've been throwing the Ned rig so much is because of this challenge. Because, you know, you catch fish of all sizes with the Ned rig. But I don't know. I ain't been able to keep up with Sean. You know, which he's gotten out a lot more than I have. So I would use that partly as my excuse. Yeah, he's been killing it when he's out there. So,
well, I'm kind of excited to get out there and try it with some tungsten and the Nico hook, because I have a bunch of those one size Nico hooks from when I talked to Dan Perry about using the Nico rig. So I might have to change up my drop shot technique a little bit and see if I actually can start pegging some fish on it. So
if you're fishing around cover, it's a great way to do it. You know, I can Texas rig it and I don't have to worry about snags or hangups. It typically comes through the grass or it comes through the wood pretty good.
How big of a drop leader are you using, you know, below your hook then? Like, how much
line do you put? I mean, I have it right here. I don't know if it's going to, it's maybe a foot.
Okay.
But this is more like I'll do a foot here, but this is like more shallow cover that I'm throwing this with. So I'm probably 6 feet of water or less now, about 2 feet after that.
Okay.
If it's gonna be deeper water.
Okay. Okay, that makes
sense. That's something very similar to, like, it's kind of like you're throwing a Texas rig or a Ned rig. But it's just off the bottom enough where they can suck it in instead of having to go straight to the bottom to eat it.
Gotcha.
Or waiting for it to pop up off the bottom.
Well, and I have, when I have marked fish in deep water, usually they are a little bit off the bottom. So I think that's kind of perfect because it's right in their face. They're not going to have to look up or down. It's going to be kind of just staring them right in the face. So.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, like I said, whenever I can, I'm throwing that, especially if I'm in a situation like where I haven't had a bite all day. That's probably my number one right there.
Do you throw it in current at all, or do you fish rivers or lakes?
We didn't
ask you that. Okay.
I fish both. I'm more experienced with the lakes and the rivers, but I'm not afraid to go in the river, you know?
Yeah.
The only thing with the river is you're going to want to upsize the weight. So that's when I'll probably use that 3/8 ounce to keep it on the bottom against the current.
Okay. That's interesting because, yeah, that is where I kind of first started trying the drop shot, because I heard so many people say good things about it. And that, I think, attributes to why I wasn't feeling the bottom, because, you know, I use usually 1/4 ounce in the river for certain things, depending on the flow, of course. But, you know, I'm thinking maybe I just wasn't heavy enough, even though I thought I was almost too heavy. But that makes a lot of sense. I will definitely give that a try.
Yeah, because with the 3/8, the current doesn't really have a chance of pushing it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we want to throw someone into the slacker water, because that's kind of where the bass tend to hang out anyways. But, I mean, the more weight you have, the better you're going to be in the current.
Right.
So if it's not in you, basically, if it's not in your mind that it's going to take them by turn, you'll fish the technique better, you know?
Right, right. No, and that definitely was something I was doing wrong too, because I was kind of using such a light weight that I know I was drifting with the current. It wasn't staying in one spot. It was, so I can, you know, I, go ahead.
Sometimes that works. but it only works when you kind of already know where the fish are at. When you're searching for fish, you don't necessarily rather fish the technique than just wait for it to kind of drift down and hope you get a bite, you know?
Right.
So what kind of setup are you throwing that on?
A 6'8" medium light with a 2500 reel on a 8-pound braid and 6-pound test.
Okay, so that's lighter than I would have guessed too.
That's about what I use for my Ned rig setup, so I could probably just tie it on there. I think my rod's like 7 foot, but other than that,
I do plan on upgrading rods as far as length. You know, that's just kind of, I bought a drop shot specific rod a long time ago, about 7 years ago, and it's still working today. So why change up when you don't have to?
Right.
So you use that same setup even whenever you up the weight? Because I feel like that heavier weight on that medium light rod with light line would, like, you know, sometimes you feel like you got a fish on there, and you know, but it's just the weight of it.
It can do that, but for the most part, I kind of wait to feel the bite or like the nibble. Okay. You know, you can really feel that line jump when one has it.
Okay.
And with that bigger hook, you could kind of, you don't want to set the hook like it's a jig hook, but you can kind of set the hook a little bit instead of reeling into them, because it's a bigger hook, it can get deeper past their lips versus a regular drop shot hook where you're just hooking like a little skin piece off of them.
Yeah.
You know, I get them hooked right through the roof of their mouth like 90% of the time.
Okay. Interesting. Now again, I'm going to have to, you know, get out there a little bit more, Ryan. You better watch out.
I might have to rig it up one day, you know, just need to go ahead and do it, because, you know, sounds like I got everything I need to do it. I just haven't tried it.
Yeah.
And I haven't learned. I don't think I've really messed with any new techniques this year yet. So probably do need to learn something new.
Yeah, it's definitely one of them techniques that can add the fish up fast. Now, depending on what spot you're in, it may not add the big ones fast, but you can definitely put a beating on the fish.
Well, right now, I just need over 12 inches.
You know, exactly. When I get
to a tournament, maybe I'll throw a jig or something. But for now, just need over 12 inches. I need to catch up.
In a tournament situation, I'll try to upgrade the bait as far as length. I'll go to a 4 or 5, 6-inch worm instead of the smaller 3-inch worms, especially if I just need that bigger bite.
Do you use the same brand or do you switch that up?
So the Great Lakes bait is kind of like, it's a small brand. So a lot of his stuff is 3-4 inches, even the swim baits. So then I would technically go to, there's a new company that just came out called Frontline Bait Company. They have a 6-inch like trick worm that I go to when that is the bite. I definitely will be using it this week, this upcoming weekend in Madison for sure.
Okay. Now, do you still look for floating at that point, or does it not matter as much when you're that big?
I still do, because then it's out of my mind that worm's just trying to sit down. I look for people who hand pour their own, because then I could kind of work with them as to what I want, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. That makes sense. And then, you know, beyond a doubt, you know, exactly what's happening down there. You know that, you know, cause I was always worried. Okay. Yeah. I can feel the weight on the bottom, but now do I have enough slack? Whereas my lure is actually down there too, you know, or, you know, that definitely makes it tough, at least for me, to know what's going on down there. So.
Yeah. And I try to keep somewhat of a tight line. I kind of want to feel that tungsten dragging along the bottom. mm-hmm. you know, no matter where it's at. Because as long as that's on the bottom, the bait kind of does the work itself for most right. of these, for most of the drop shot baits that you get.
You're not having to add action because the bumping is pretty much doing what you need it to do.
Exactly. And that's the problem with a lot of people. They try to add too much action to it, and it kind of just it does not help at all.
Well, I'm probably guilty of that too. I sounds like I did everything wrong that you could do with it.
I mean, I definitely did too at first. One thing I know definitely being in the kayak, it's not talked about a lot when people are in boats, keeping the rod tip under the water until you're ready to net the fish.
Oh, okay.
Because it will keep them from jumping and spinning that hook.
Yeah.
If you ever like see me on a live or see a video of mine, you'll see my rod tip's always under the water, even for a jerkbait fishing, you know?
Okay.
Jumping's the easiest way to land more fish. I truly feel that way.
No, I agree. I mean, I just yesterday, I probably lost 4 or 5 from jumping. So, yeah.
Sometimes you can't, you know, sometimes there's no getting around it. But just having those little tips and tricks definitely helps at times.
No, that's probably a big trip. I mean, especially when I'm fishing the river, the smallies just seem to just go immediately for jumping.
I was watching a elite guy on YouTube. He calls them bottle rockets.
Yep.
That's all they want to do is just shoot straight out the water.
Yep. I started playing around with the Big Joshy swim bait, and that has been it's been doing great for me as far as getting them, but they also seem to be able to throw it pretty easy by doing that bottle rocket thing you're talking about. Cause
yeah.
I don't know how many times I've, man, I'm really kind of digging them. You know, I've been just having a little bit more success than I have throwing Kytex or anything else on the river. So,
you know, I'm a big Kytex guy, but I feel like they would match up on the Jigmaster swim bait heads or the underspins pretty well. And, you know, I'm kind of liking those after I caught my PB back in December. So, yes, I need to get some of those. I just haven't done it yet.
And they're not much to look at. They look kind of plain when you look at them in your hand, but I don't know what it is.
They say they got really good action to them.
Yeah, no, and it's not like a crazy, like the Kytex, I think, almost has a lot of action. Like that tail is just going nuts back there.
I'll be the first person, probably the only person to say I do not like Kytex.
You just don't know how to fish them. So.
No. They're a great bait, but I don't like something that after 1-2 fish, I have to change it again. I'd rather have durability over action. It catches them, but I don't see spending $20-$30 a day on Kytex to get a few more bites.
I feel you. Like they do tear up easy. You know, I've no joke. In like this 4-hour tournament, I've went through a whole pack of them and not even caught a fish. It's just where it got tore up by beating on rocks and stuff. But they do catch fish, and that's why I do like them. If I got to go through a whole pack of them in a day, but I'm catching fish with it, that's fine with me. You know, $5-6 bucks for a pack, I can live with that if I'm catching fish. But I don't know. The name's drawing a blank on me. The, like, Strike King – ones that look just like a Kytex.
Rage Tail, I think swim.
Yeah. Like, I've had a lot of success on those in certain areas, but as far as overall performance on different bodies of water, like there's one particular body of water where I've had success with those, but I've had success with Kytex on, like, every body of water that I've used them on compared to where, you know, that particular body of water, which was a kind of a very less pressured body of water, was the only one I got success with the rage swimmers. So I've got some rage swimmers, but it's always the cat tape.
I was going to say, where, since we mentioned 153 baits, I'm kind of digging their swim baits too. They seem very.
I haven't tried those yet. I need to.
I actually have quite a few packs. They were nice enough. They sent me one order and they messed up my order. So they like doubled my order to fix that. And I was like, holy cow, you guys didn't have to do that. It's like, no, it was our mistake. You know, that's just the kind of company they are. But so I got a ton of swim baits now from them. And I think they're just as good as Skytex, in my opinion. So they seem like they're poured very similarly.
I definitely want to try them. One thing that I feel like makes Skytex unique is they got that squid scent on them. And like, I actually went out and bought some squid scent just because of that to try on other swim baits. Like, I took some of the Jigmaster swim baits and, you know, just put them in a baggie and put that squid scent all on there.
Did it work?
Yeah. I believe
it does for a little
No, I was thinking about it. My PB was caught on a Kitec, but it was on the Jigmaster's underspin. But the next time I went to that same body of water, I put on one of those Jigmaster swim bait on their underspin, and it had been soaking in that squid scent. And I caught, you know, this was wintertime. This is right around Christmas, and I think I caught like four or five fish on that setup that day. So it worked. Now, I didn't catch anything major. I think my biggest one was like 16 and a half, 17, something like that.
But still December.
Yeah.
For me, that would be, you know, four fish in December.
Well, December in Tennessee and December in Pennsylvania is probably two different things.
Very different.
Oh, yeah. You know, is like it's like the end of fall for me. It's like snowing and icing over for you. So
right.
But yeah, so yeah, back to Chris. You know, if y'all haven't noticed, I've like a sweat going down sitting here in my garage because it's hot right now and I'm an idiot.
Oh, we're dealing with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just got off the water about 2-3 hours ago at 95 degrees outside.
Oh wow.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
Where did you say you were at again, Chris?
Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
That's crazy that it's hotter there than it is here. Like right now, it's showing it's 88 degrees here. I don't know.
Yeah,
It feels like 96. So it's humid.
Yeah. No, we need some rain down here. Everything's like 2 feet below what it should be. It's making stuff tough and hard.
I bet.
So you said you like throwing the chatterbait a lot. So you want to talk about that setup a little bit? Because I'm kind of I don't have a lot of experience with chatterbait. I've caught fish on it, but it's definitely not a confidence lure. But I've heard so many different people talk about, you know, some people – like me personally, I throw it on the same rod that I throw my underspins with a swim bait on, just because I don't want to carry an extra rod for something that I don't throw that often. So I throw it on a medium fast rod. And a lot of people like to throw it on a medium heavy. I've heard people talk about some throw it on fluoro, some throw it on straight braid. And then I've also heard people throw it on medium heavy with medium action. And I'm kind of wondering if I need to move towards that medium action. See, single hook applications, I generally like a fast action. And this is something I've been meaning to bring up on here for a while. It just hit me when we started talking about it. A lot of times when I catch a fish on a chatterbait, the hook falls right out of its mouth. Like, as soon as I get it in, falls right out. And I'm like, at first I was blaming the chatterbait. Like, oh, they just rip a big hole in it. But I'm thinking that fast action is why I'm like ripping a bigger hole in it than it should. So maybe that's why people like that medium action. So what's your take on it?
I like kind of what they call a cranking rod.
Okay.
So it's this medium etching and then a moderate tip.
Okay, yeah.
And so basically I treat it just like a crankbait. And it's kind of got rid of all my lipless crankbaits. I don't throw them anymore because of the chatterbait. So you can rip it through the grass, you know, and or you can either, you know, you can just slow roll it around grass or grass clumps. And that's when you, but that's when I get my biggest bite is around grass. And that's what I like, love fishing is grass, but especially with that chatterbait, you know, because you can't rip a crankbait through grass and expect it not to get hungry.
It's right, have it come back time. All crappy. Yeah, yep.
Yeah, bring some salad with it. Hey, this is actually just a quick spinoff that made me think about earlier today. I found on YouTube. It's actually got a Jimmy Houston Outdoors episodes on Hulu. And I started watching it, and he was fishing. It showed a little clip of him fishing with like this NFL player back in the 90s, and Jimmy caught a fish, and the other guy brought up a bunch of grass on his thing. He's like, "Well, I got the meat, and you got the salad." it cracked me up a little bit.
I was always told if it has, you know, if it has grass on it, the fish aren't going to eat it. They're not vegetarians.
That's the same rata that I've been having success with on the chatterbait. I did not have success with the chatterbait until I started throwing it on a medium, like a cranking rod, just like you're talking about.
I see a lot of people, that a lot of the elite series and the pros set the hook on them hard, but for me personally, I kind of just reel into them. And then normally,
kind of like you would a crankbait, just
that's what I mean by like I treat it like a crankbait.
Okay.
Because if they're gonna totally commit to that bait, you know, and the way they hit it, like I've seen a couple of them, they hit it pretty good to a point where you don't really need to set the hook. They're opening their mouth, taking it fully in, and closing it right away. As long as you're keeping up with them. You pretty much got them at that point because the hook's going right to the roof of their mouth, whether they like it or not, you know? And then I also use a slower gear ratio reel. I was using a 5-2 gear ratio reel, and I might move up to a 6.5 in the future, but I feel like that helps on for me because I can't slow down personally.
Okay. What are you doing, the straight braid or are you using fluoro or?
So a lot of people are going to disagree with this, but I'm using 10-pound fluorocarbon at times. And okay. I only go up to 12-pound fluoro on it.
Fishing around grass?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I'm playing, you know, I'm thin ice, fishing around grass.
Yeah, Russian roulette there.
Yeah, but I feel like I get more bites that way.
Okay.
You know, more of a confidence thing than a technique thing, you know?
So are you throwing it, like, into the grass, or are you, like, running along grass
line? So I will run it along the weed edges. Sometimes I do get it stuck in the grass, rip it out, and that's how I get the bite. But for the most part, I'm targeting weed edges or edges of a. If you have a log coming off the bank, I'll throw it up against there and bring it back in.
And what kind of trailers are you putting on there? I've heard lots of different things with that too.
So, a missile based D bomb or a space. This 3.6 swim bait from Great Lake Bait.
Okay. Is the D-bomb, is that like a creature bait?
Okay. It is. It's
like
it's
a beaver show.
Yeah.
Okay.
And why do they call it a beaver style? Like, it don't resemble a beaver to me. I've never understood why they call it that. Maybe it's,
I think it's
kind of looks like a tail. I guess.
Yeah.
Like
the body. I think that's what it is. Yep.
Your guys' guess is as good as mine on that one. I think someone, you know, it's one of the things someone started calling it a beater style, and it kind of took off the rest of the industry. Yeah.
You mentioned like pulling that through the weeds. That's one thing. The only thing I think that I don't quite like about the moderate or the moderate action is that sometimes when I'm trying to pull it through, I can't rip it out very easily because the rod is taking so much of that force when I try and pull it through. But it depends on the grass, I guess, and you know how thick it is and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm not throwing it in real thick grass. It's more of like this type of your scattered grass or your like your grass that comes up 4 feet but the water is 6 feet type of deal.
Right.
Where you're running it right over and sometimes you get a clump that's higher than the rest of them. And you gotta kind of rip it through there, you know.
Right. That makes sense. I know, like the Susquehanna where I fish, we have, I forget what, I talked to one guy who told me what kind of grass it is, but I think it's celery grass or something like that. But it is the most fragile stuff. And it so easily gets on everything. Like just bumping into it, it tears off and kind of gets, I most often get it where my line attaches to my bait, whatever it is. And like, I'm like, how are you ever going to clear that? It's kind of obnoxious, but, still learning how to fish this stupid celery grass or whatever it is. But one of the things that's worked for me with that is a weightless fluke because that doesn't, it does seem to kind of weave its way through there or float, just sit on top of it. Yeah. Yep.
Have you tried a floating worm with it?
No, not yet. Most of the worms I threw were all weighted. Well, I tried throwing wacky rig in there because wacky rig was one of my go-tos on the lakes. And just the way that pulled through the grass, it didn't work well that way. But I never tried a Texas rig worm or anything.
Yeah, floating worm would kind of be similar to your fluke style, but just give it just a little bit different action.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to give that a try.
I don't have a ton of experience with the floating worm, but I definitely know in certain situations it can definitely pay off.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you're really liking the 153 baits, chatterbait.
The quake.
So has that become like your new go-to, or do you have another one that you tend to go towards?
It was my new go-to until, you know, like I said, the muskie took it. And I recently put another order in for him. It definitely will be. The other one is just the Project Z chatterbait from Z-Man. I don't own any jackhammers. I don't plan on owning any jackhammers
currently. You know, I've got a theory, and I don't really have any evidence to back up my theory, but I feel like these other jackhammers or other chatterbaits such as the Project Z and, you know, the new Cross Eye and, you know, other similar chatterbaits to that are going to start getting more popular because so many people have been throwing the jackhammer. I feel like it's, you know, you've heard it. People talk about like spinner baits, how it was hard to get a spinner bait or get a bite on a spinner bait there for a long time because everybody was throwing spinner baits. Well, I feel like it's going to start getting really hard to catch fish on a jackhammer because it seems like everybody's throwing a jackhammer these days. So I feel like these other ones that got different tones whenever they're coming through the water, I feel like they're going to start getting more popular as people were having less luck on the jackhammers.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because I was talking to the guy at 153 Baits about this exact thing, about how everyone's throwing the jackhammer and that's all anybody talks about, and it seems like everything's getting one on jackhammer just simply because that's all everybody throws. And I told him that quake is going to be definitely something that comes out of nowhere and end up winning a tournament just because it's different.
Well, you're going to have to go win one.
Madison's right around the corner, and that's
there you go.
Oh, you got to turn the logo more towards the camera when you go. You know, Brian's not going to be happy. You don't have that new logo turned towards the camera once you take a drink. Yeah, there you go. You got to make sure it's facing the camera as you're holding it, and then still facing it as you take your drink.
Yeah,
it's okay. You're new yet.
Yeah. Awesome.
Another thing about it, I only use 1/2 ounce chatterbaits. I feel like a lot of people are going to that, and the way I determine if it's going to be high in the water column or low is depending on the trailer more than the weight. So I'll use that beaver style to keep it high and that swim bait to keep it low.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that's definitely something I've noticed too. I was using a Rage Crawl. I forget where. I think it was on Tactical Bassin where they talked about that, using a Rage Crawl and the back turned sideways. And it definitely makes a big difference as far as water depth versus throwing it off with a Zaco or something like that on the back of it.
And I haven't personally tested it out, but I heard a lot of people say when you use those beaver styles, it's better around wood and around cover and around docks because it'll flow over better instead and it won't get hung up as much.
Interesting.
Now, I don't know how true that is, but I've definitely heard it in a couple of YouTube videos saying that.
I know Alex Red talked about that, where he uses the Thunder Cricket in wood, I think, and the jackhammers and Z-Man stuff otherwise. So
I think he said around like wood and rock, and then for grass, it's a jackhammer.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I don't know. It's been like a year since we had him on here. We did get him back on here. He was good.
Yeah, he was a good guy. Cool guy.
Yeah. I mean, throwing a $20 bait in a piece of wood is kind of, I don't know, that makes the heart hurt.
Yeah, I've kind of gotten to the point where, like, I've come to the, I don't know, I'm okay with, I know fishing's going to be expensive. Like, I know. Every trip's probably going to be like a $20 bill in baits, you know, whether it's, you know, one jackhammer or whether it's like 10 Ned rigs or whatever it is. Like I'm going to lose some lures. So, you know, I'm going to throw them where I feel like the basket. Cause I mean, if you're going to spend the money on the lure, there's no sense in throwing it in a little safe area where, you know, fish ain't going to be there. Like, you got to throw them right beside that log where you know there's going to be a fish right there. Yeah.
I definitely agree with that. You always got to throw it in the nastiest look. Where you feel like, I know this is going to get hung up.
Yeah.
That's probably where the biggest fish in that lake is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Normally, I'm the same way when I go out. I tend to lose baits. Yesterday, though, I was so psyched, I found a whopper popper just kind of floating by me. So whoever was out on Pincho yesterday, if you lost your whopper popper, I'm sorry, but I snagged it.
They're going to be coming by your house. Like, where's my whopper flopper?
I mean, nobody really talks about the whopper ploppers anymore, and that was a hot bait like the jackhammer is right now.
You're right.
I got ridiculed about talking about the whopper plopper too much, so you know I had to quit throwing it.
I definitely have a few, but I just haven't found that right situation to throw it at right now.
Well, yesterday I was killing it on the Rico popper, so I probably should keep that a secret to you. Brad clued me in over that, and that was, oh my gosh, that was amazing. So I almost tied that whopper plopper on one of my other rods because everything was hitting topwater. But I was having so much fun with the Rico popper that I stuck with that, and I did pretty well, so I was happy.
Man, I bought a lure that looks like a cicada. It's a mega bass lure. It was like $17 or something like that. It's a topwater lure. And I've been waiting on this cicada spawn that was supposed to like take over the whole South or whatever it is to happen. Because when it starts, they're going to be eating these things. So I bought this lure so I could be tearing them up on topwater. And I've yet to see a single cicada here in Tennessee.
I did see them yesterday, and I threw my I have a cheaper one. Who does the Live Target stuff? I forget which company does that, or is that the company?
Live Target. Yeah.
Is that
Live Target? Yeah, Live Target's the company. Yeah.
Okay, that's I have cicadas from them, and I actually saw cicadas falling out of the trees into the water, and so I threw it a good bit, and it didn't get any hits on it. So I was like, heck with this, and
going
back to the Rika.
Well, mine is from Mega Bass.
And, I saw Mega Bass, but I couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah, I actually looked at it again on Tackle Warehouse the other day, and every single color was sold out till like September. So,
yeah,
I was like, I'm glad I grabbed mine while I could.
Well, in another 17 years, I'm sure it'll come back.
I'll be pulling it out of my tackle box, got rusty hooks and stuff. Like, finally, I get to try this baby out.
Yeah, they talk about that all the time. I have never been able to hit that type of bite, right?
Well, I thought for sure yesterday because I could see them falling out of the trees. Now, they weren't as big as I was expecting. They were smaller, so I don't know if they weren't fully grown yet.
Well, you know, that popper might have been kind of imitating one to the fish.
Yeah.
You know, fish probably, the chance that it thought that it was a cicada. And maybe that's
It was even bigger than the cicada that I have.
Really?
Though, and it wouldn't hit the cicada one, but they were hitting the Rico.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, some of that similar, that popper probably, the back probably goes under the water just a little bit more.
Right.
It could be something as simple as that too.
No, I definitely I never had much luck with the popper until yesterday, and for whatever reason yesterday it was the deal. I started out throwing it and caught a fish on my second cast, and I was like, this is going to be a good day. And for the first 2 hours in the morning, it was definitely the bait to have tied on. So
yeah, Today wasn't the day for me.
No, same here. But I had my girls with me, so they're clunking around, and you know that never makes it super easy. So
I had no excuses. I just had problem after problem. You know, the motor went out then after 10 minutes after launch, and that just kind of ruins the day. You know.
Then you're like, I got to do exercise and paddle. Oh.
Yeah. The paddling was the problem. Everybody was out there today. You know, it seemed like everyone just decided to go to the lake today. That was the bigger issue. Anywhere you turned, you had someone there, whether kayak, boat, you know, boat tube.
Wow.
Definitely going to have a lot of more and more pleasure boaters get out as you get warmer and warmer, especially in those northern states where y'all are a little slower warming up than us. But
you've got
to be careful out there.
Yeah, that's the problem. We got to be careful because they don't care. You know,
right?
We see it as fishing as this is our time to get out, and they see it as I really don't care. I'm drinking beers and partying it up right next to you.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, last year in August, I was fishing a tournament, and I was fishing under a bridge, like fishing the pillar, and this boat pulled up like 30 yards from me, something like that, and I'm like, okay, why do they got to be so close? And it was like a pleasure boat, and so I'm not really paying attention to them. I keep on fishing. A few minutes go by, that boat's still sitting there, and I look over, and I'm like, okay, it had two guys and a woman on the boat. Now I only see the woman on the boat. And so I look over and fishing again. All of a sudden, I just hear, boosh. They done got out, climbed up the rock wall there, up on top of the bridge, and jumped off the bridge into the water. like beside me while I'm fishing.
Yeah. So you don't hear at all. We had that problem when we had the tournament in Michigan. A lot of the people getting, a lot of the kayakers getting off the water. It was kind of through a canal type deal, and you just seen pleasure boat, the pontoon boat after pontoon boat, just ignoring the no wake sign, just blowing past you as you're just trying to dock up.
That's crazy.
That's why I like the place that I talk about a lot, Williamsport, because it's fishing. You're not allowed to pleasure. I mean, it's trolling motor only for boats, but you know, like even kayakers, you're not allowed to go out there just a pleasure kayak. Like it's for it's designated for fishing.
I don't think I've ever. No places in PA are like that. It sounds cool.
Yeah, it's nice. Everybody out there's got the same objective. So. But yeah, man, welcome to Paddle and Fin family.
Thank you.
Wish you well on your segment, and anybody that is interested in, you know, talking about like the keeping a good mindset on the water and stuff like that, make sure you check out his segment every other Sunday here on Paddle and Fin. You know, since it's your first time on here, you want to shout out any social media or any of that stuff?
You can find me all over social media. It's at Chris Slifka Fishing. I can spell it out. It's ChrisSlywka Fishing. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube soon once I get this camera mount set up. Kind of been a pain in the butt, but you know. And then TikTok also.
Nice.
I tend to post a lot of stuff on there. You know.
I've tried it. I've posted some videos on there, but like my first one got like 400 views, and then all the rest of them got like one view. Like, well, this sucks.
It's definitely a weird algorithm, but I kind of know we're going to need it, especially for the sponsorship side of things. So might as well get started early.
Yeah.
Right. Build whatever following you can and then let it explode.
Uh-huh.
Well, cool, man. Well, go ahead, Ryan.
I mean, if you want to close it out, you can, you know.
No.
but yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on here and talking with us, you know, it's good.
Oh, it's no problem.
Good getting to know you a little better. But, yeah, so everybody, this has been the Bass Fishing for Noobs segment on Paddle and Fin, bringing you the techniques, tricks, and tips to help you rip more lips. Later, yo.
See you guys.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode on Paddle and Fin. Don't forget to go check out our website at paddle, the letter N, and fin.com. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel at Paddle and Fin. If you got a question, comment, want to hear from a future guest on a future episode, feel free to email us at paddle, the letter N, and fin@gmail.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Paddle and Fin on Facebook and Instagram. Shout out to our show supporters, Angler, the Angler button and app just makes for a better time on the water and creates a virtual logbook for every fishing outing out on the water. Shout out to Rocktown Adventures, located in Northern Illinois, for all your kayaking, camping, and hiking needs. Shout out to Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com.